This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour one on this Thursday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show, ready to go. Gang's all here. Yes, Fritzy is here. Got a lot of things available at danpatrick.com. Take advantage of this. It is Moonshine Madness there. Tailgate Moonshine. And right now, if you place an order, you get 50% off your next order in the merchandise store, danpatrick.com. The code will be emailed to you within 48 hours of your tailgate purchase. Play of the day, stat of the day, poll question, ready to go. Stat of the day is always brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Mike Krzyzewski, the former Duke head coach, will join us coming up a little bit later on. Maurice Jones-Drew, former NFL Pro Bowl running back, will stop by as well. A couple of universities punched their tickets last night. Colgate, McNeese State, Montana State. Some football news. Joe Flacco has a job. He's going to the Colts. Titans grab Calvin Ridley from Jacksonville. And the Eagles could be accused of tampering to get Saquon Barkley. Okay, let me just start there for a moment. We had the legal tampering, which sounds silly. It's like jumbo shrimp. Hey, it's now, what was illegal is now legal. We're calling it legal tampering. Why not just say free agency has started? Unless you're worried that prior to free agency, you'll have agents talk to teams or players talk to teams, which is going to happen. But the blasphemous accusation, the NFL and the Eagles and Saquon Barkley, did they tamper to get Saquon Barkley, Paulie?
It's very confusing, the accusation, because if you say this is the legal tampering period, wouldn't you legally be able to tamper by the definition of the period? So Saquon Barkley's former head coach at Penn State, James Franklin, suggested that Howie Roseman, the GM of the Eagles, spoke to Barkley directly during the legal tampering period, which would be illegal. I guess the GM is allowed to talk to the agent for said player, but not directly to said player. Oh. That would be the tampering angle of it.
Okay. Yes, Todd.
Just to let everybody talk to whoever they want, anytime they want, and all you have to say is, though, you could legally sign them Wednesday, 4 o'clock Eastern. That's the start of the fiscal NFL year, but we're not going to have legal or illegal tampering anytime, day or night. Reach out to whoever you want.
Thank you, Todd.
And then that person decides whether they want to engage in those negotiations.
Yeah. Need legal tampering.
Commissioner Todd Fritz.
Yeah.
It's Todd's right, though.
Yeah.
If you have no rules on it, you can't break the rule.
Yeah, but you have to have rules. It's the NFL. There's a rule for rules.
But if everyone was allowed to talk to everyone in a certain time frame, because teams are not allowed to talk directly to players during the negotiation window unless the player represents himself. And the Eagles spokesman said that this did not happen.
I don't know what that means. Do the Eagles have to give up like a fifth-round draft pick or something if they're found guilty of tampering, legal tampering? Or illegal tampering. So there's an illegal tampering window, and then there's the legal tampering window, And then there's just the free agency window.
It appears it's not the window. It's the discussion in the window, like the direct discussion not going through said agent.
Yes, Todd.
And how do you prove that? You legally tap people's phones in the offices of the NFL teams? You have something on a tape that you can play back?
I don't know how important it is to bust them, but I always found it interesting that right before free agency would start, it'd be like 12:01 and somebody would announce that they're signing with the team. So they got a deal done in 60 seconds. That's really impressive. There's been tampering for decades in the NFL, and now you have that silly legal tampering, and then you have free agency. Yes, Seton.
It's kind of like the, like, why are we acting like this isn't happening? Yeah. Why are we acting like it's not happening? Just let it happen. We all know it's happening, so why are we acting like it's not?
Yes, Paul.
That's exactly what happened years ago. Remember the Kyle VandenBosch situation? Years ago, the tight end, I think he's a defensive end for maybe the Titans at the time. He announced his deal at 12:01 a.m. that he was going to the Titans, which meant that he negotiated the entire deal in 60 seconds.
And I believe that.
But he's a fast guy.
And I'm ready, order. Go.
That we're agree.
$5 million.
Signed.
Yeah.
Okay, technically it happened. So that was the impetus for...
The legal...
5, 10, 6, 9, 7, 8.
Done. High motor.
877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Say good morning to those watching on Peacock, our streaming partner. Thank you for downloading the app and our radio affiliates around the country, numbering over 400 cities. When you go all in the NFL, the offseason can be a great time. Fan bases love it when we're all in. Well... We've seen this turn out to be miserable, failing miserably. The Broncos and Chargers, come on down. Because Denver just had to eat nearly $40 million for Russell Wilson to play elsewhere, leaving them with little money to improve a lackluster roster. Meanwhile, the Chargers, in a nightmare salary cap situation, they released Mike Williams yesterday. That saved them $20 million. L.A. has four of the highest non-quarterback cap hits in the NFL. Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, Keenan Allen, and Williams. Parting ways with the former Clemson wideout will smooth things over a little bit, but you have Allen, Bosa, and Mack set to receive over $90 million combined this season. Chargers are a perfect example of the risk and the rewards of going all in the offseason. Which brings me to Dan Orlovsky yesterday. Mothership analyst who joined us. We talked about a variety of things. Then we got around to the Cowboys are supposed to be all in. Jerry Jones said, we're all in. And I asked Dan Orlovsky about that situation.
The day after they lost to Green Bay, I said they should blow the whole place up. Restart. You know, 3 years in a row, 12 wins, I would have gotten rid of Mike McCarthy. I would have moved on from Dak. Tried to get as much value as I could from a good starting quarterback in the NFL. Now they're pigeonholed. You're either going to play handcuffed this season because of the salary that he has, and you're going to have holes that you're not going to be able to fill at some point, or you're going to have to extend him and continue to kick the can down the line when the results, you know, when they've mattered the most have been underwhelming. And so I could see Jerry Jones saying, well, I've tried it. It hasn't gone the way I've wanted. Maybe we try it this way. I also think this, Dan, and I've said this publicly, I don't think that the Cowboys are truly dead set on winning a Super Bowl. I think they're like committed to mediocrity, and I think they're committed to, like, you know, winning. I don't think they're committed to and pushing all their chips in, Los Angeles Rams, less need, put it on the table type of stuff. We're going to win the whole thing. I don't believe that's them.
That's Dan Orlovsky yesterday, which certainly was interesting, but he was echoing the same sentiments Mike Florio had the day before when he joined us, that Jerry Jones wants the Cowboys to just be relevant. Not all guys who are going to get paid. It almost feels like the Cowboys haven't listened to Jerry Jones, the GM, and they've made some pretty smart moves. Or maybe they're not listening to Jerry Jones, the owner, but they're listening to Jerry Jones, the GM. They've made some smart moves. Mike McCarthy, I thought that was a lateral move. I didn't think there was any real, wow, now they got their leader there. And I think Dak's a good quarterback. I think CeeDee Lamb is an elite wide receiver. And Micah Parsons, he is a great defensive player. But sometimes when you get top heavy, like the Chargers, and you have three or four really big contracts, if they aren't great, and those players with the Chargers were not great, some were good, you didn't have greatness there. Now all of a sudden, you went all in, you took a chance, and this is what teams are looking at with like a five-year plan, a four-year plan, because of your rookie contract with your quarterback. And when you get it right, you can have sustainable greatness there. And keep in mind with the Chiefs, when Mahomes went there, they already had talent there. They weren't like the Bears or Carolina. They had talent. Now you bring him in, you get him on a rookie deal, now you surround him, now all of a sudden you pay him, but then what's he do? He defers money. So now you bring back Chris Jones, Legarius Sneed, some of their defensive backs, other defensive backs, and they're going to be drafting wide receivers probably in this year's draft. That's how you have sustainable greatness. The Chargers tried that with Justin Herbert with his rookie deal. All right, we got these guys. They didn't produce. Therefore, the Chargers are in sort of salary cap purgatory. We'll come up with a poll question. We got a play of the day, stat of the day. The first hour brought to you by NetSuite, the business solution. It's NetSuite by Oracle, bringing accounting, financing, inventory, HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce cost everywhere. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering one-of-a-kind flexible financing program, and you can head to netsuite.com/Patrick for more. Seton, what's the poll question we have?
NFL team that feels most like they are going in the wrong direction. This is one Paulie just sent over.
Okay.
Yes. We can populate this.
Okay, Paul.
So we have to put together teams for this poll question because I don't want to accuse anybody. But there's some teams in free agency and other parts of the times of the league that feel like they're going away from winning, not towards it. Like the Titans, however, the past couple of years, the Titans feel like they're further from winning.
Okay.
And like the quarterback moves, not keeping A.J. Brown, now giving big money to Ridley. The New York Giants feel like they're going away from winning, not towards it.
Okay.
The Carolina Panthers would be an example.
All right.
They had the number one pick of the draft, which is supposed to help you win. Their ownership group seems like they're going away from winning. All right. Those are a couple teams.
Okay. Any other teams on that list, Seton?
Let's see. We just said the Jaguars.
No, we said the Titans, the Giants,
the Panthers.
Panthers.
How about the Jaguars?
Okay.
They don't feel like there are teams here that feel like they were on the cusp, right? Like I would say the Titans were going somewhere.
Yeah.
And then really once they traded A.J. Brown, it was like, oh, this team stinks now.
Fair.
So they didn't want to pay A.J. Brown, but then they're paying Calvin Ridley. They didn't want Derrick Henry, but they want Tony Pollard. And now Will Levis is your quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And then you got rid of your coach.
The Giants have been a mess for what feels like a little while.
Yeah.
Panthers have been a mess for a little while.
Yeah.
But I would put the Jaguars in there where it felt like, okay, we've got something going here. And now it's, I wouldn't say they're going the wrong direction, but it certainly feels like it's stalled a little bit, whatever progress they were perceived to have been making.
You missed your window, it feels like, in Jacksonville, because now you're going to have to pay your quarterback. The Texans are, you know, the opposite. You know, now is their window. You found your quarterback, you found your coach, you brought in a couple of weapons here to help your quarterback, which is what you do in these situations. You help your quarterback. And C.J. Stroud might not need much help, as we saw last year. But I think some of these teams, you got that window. It's like the Bears had a window with Justin Fields. And what did you do? Did you surround him with anything? All right, he's got some talent around him. He's got a good tight end, a good wide receiver. You got a couple of good tackles there. But their opportunity is now going to be reset because now you take Caleb Williams in the draft. And then you get rid of Justin Fields. And I know this has been a big topic. It's like nobody wants Justin Fields, but everybody can't stop talking about the fact that nobody wants Justin Fields. It's really strange. And I know that people in my business, we're looking for topics every single day. Well, let's talk about Justin Fields. Who wants him? Hey, what if he stays? See, now the conversation has turned back to, what if the Bears keep Justin Fields and they don't draft Caleb Williams? Okay, go get him. Nobody wanted Justin Fields, but now the Bears want Justin Fields. Doesn't make any sense to me. The GM, Ryan Poles, went to the combine And he said, hey, you know, if we move on from Justin, I mean, you know, we want to be fair to him. He's already talking about moving on and drafting a quarterback. And now we're supposed to believe that they've had this epiphany where they go, you know what? I think our solution is right there. He's in the room. Nobody wanted him. You could have him for basically nothing. If you said to the Bears right now, we'll give you a second round pick. They do it in a second. Now, they bypassed C.J. Stroud last year. They kept Justin Fields. Okay, you gave him another chance. He got hurt, shows signs of greatness there. But the fact that nobody wants him, but everybody keeps talking about him. And is there a chance that they don't take Caleb Williams? I guess. But if they don't take Caleb Williams, then they'll take Jaden Daniels. Like, I can't see them not taking a quarterback because it allows them to reset the market. Here's a destination for Justin Fields that I think might surprise you. But you're going to have to wait until after the break. I think I have a destination for him. I think it makes sense. And the question is, what would this team have to give up, be willing to give up for him? We'll have that for you coming up. You know, New England should be on that list, Seton. Denver should be on that list as well. They seem to be, New England seems to be headed in, like, you know, a different direction. Yes, Seton.
So I was going to not put those two teams in there because they've made big changes.
Okay.
So that to me means...
Oh, so you're giving them the benefit of the doubt.
I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt because they're like, those are two teams that you can see, okay, I could see what you're doing. You're making big changes. There are the Titans, I don't understand what they're doing. So maybe this might be more my bias, I guess, a little bit. But I'm like, I don't understand what you guys are doing. And for reasons that you just said, you didn't want Derrick Henry, but you paid Tony Pollard. You didn't want to pay A.J. Brown, but you're paying Calvin Ridley. You've gone through four quarterbacks now in like 2 minutes.
Decided all of a sudden Mike Vrabel had taken you as far as he could take you.
Right.
Yeah, Paulie.
Yeah, the Patriots stink, but they feel like they're going the right direction because there is only one direction when you're 4-13. New coach, possibly new quarterback on a rookie contract, jettisoning Mac Jones. The direction seems the right way. The current status is awful.
Yeah, they just seem like bland.
How about like the Minnesota Vikings? Are they going the right direction or is the direction down then up?
Well, they might. I think they made the right move to move on from Kirk Cousins. If you don't want to pay that money and you think you could get Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, my big concern, and I said that from the beginning, I'm worried about losing Justin Jefferson. Like that would be my big concern because you did have and you do have weapons there. Addison was wonderful for the Vikings last year. Now you're going to bring in a rookie quarterback or you're going to have, you know, maybe a reserve, a backup who comes in to be able to play in Sam Darnold. Yes, Todd.
Minnesota kind of feels like Dallas to me. You're above average. You're a good team. You're a respected team, but no one thinks you're getting near the Super Bowl anytime soon.
See, I look at Dallas differently. I mean, I really thought that that team had the potential to go to the NFC title game last year. Really did. And, you know, they may still be that kind of team this year. But it comes down to now there's even more pressure on Dak. And are you going to pay him? If you pay him $60 million a year, the pressure on him, it's already immense when you're the Cowboys quarterback. But now is CeeDee Lamb going to get paid? Is CeeDee Lamb have a family member who's going to be chirping about Dak? Or Micah Parsons going to be saying something on his podcast? Jerry Jones going to say, like, that's the problem. There's so much talk either about the Cowboys or within the Cowboys that's almost to the detriment, you know? So their problems start maybe from within, and then they start to seep out. All right, let me take a break. I'll tell you where I think the best place for Justin Fields next year is after this Dan Patrick Show. Are you guys packed to go to Minneapolis, Seton? Have you packed yet? We're flying tomorrow.
Yeah, we are flying tomorrow. And as a matter of fact, last night, the words, oh, crap, came out of my mouth because I was like, dang, I got to get ready for Minneapolis. Yeah. We're leaving tomorrow.
After the show.
Yeah.
We're going to go see Keeper's Heart.
Heck yeah.
There's going to be the St. Paddy's Day Parade. But I don't know what to wear for the parade. I don't want to be too greened out. I want to make sure that it's kind of a stylish, complimentary green.
I wouldn't ungreenify yourself too much, though. Just lean into it. You're the Grand Marshal. Be the guy. If you want to be the guy, be the guy.
Well, Paulie said he was going to get me a scepter.
Oh, yeah. We got a scepter guy on the case.
I like that.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Today's Mercedes-Benz interview of the day, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz EV. What makes a Mercedes-Benz EV different? Electric is what gets you there, but Mercedes is what moves you. The vehicle, all electric, the feeling, all Mercedes. The choice, all yours. Learn more at MBUSA.com/EQ. He's the Hall of Fame coach, former Duke head coach. He's Mike Krzyzewski, obviously lonely, needing a friend, needing somebody to talk to. And here I am once again, Coach. What would you like to talk about today?
Well, I went through my list and I got to the bottom.
Yep.
And there you were.
Yep. I'm always here for you. Always here for you. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I had a big operation in January on my ankle and foot, and it's taken a couple months to get over, but I'm starting to walk around a little bit. So that's good.
If Nick Saban had called you 3 months ago and said, what is retirement like? What advice would you have told Nick Saban?
Well, you know, he's done pretty well. He's got another gig. So I didn't want another gig. I would say that make sure that you you want to stop coaching, first of all, and then have a plan. I already had a plan. I have a lifetime contract at Duke, so I have my same office, and I'm in my same conference room right now, and I'm like an ambassador for the school, and I'm a professor at Fuqua. I got a lot going on at Duke, but then I speak a lot for the Washington Speakers Bureau, and I have a Sirius XM show. We have a huge nonprofit in Durham, the Emily Krzyzewski Center. We service about 2,000 kids, and I got 10 grandkids. I'm a happy guy. I'm doing everything that I like to do, and including being with you today.
Of course, of course. Yeah. Tougher to be removed from the sport at the start of basketball season or tournament time?
It's not been tough at any time. You know, I was ready to move on. By the way, I'm also advising for the NBA, so I'm at all their meetings, the competition committee, the GM meetings, and that's been really, really good. But, you know, I love the game. I watch the game. I see more of the ACC teams than I've ever seen. And I'm interested, and I try to help Coach Shire in whatever way I can. But I don't miss the coaching. Probably the only thing I miss is the relationship between me and a player. Because, you know, that's what I spent my whole life doing.
Where's NIL heading?
Wow. You're goodbye. you know, I didn't get out. I didn't stop. Plus, I don't like the word get out. I didn't retire. Get out means like I wanted to escape for something.
Yeah.
I didn't retire because of the new environment in college sports. It would have been exciting to try to adapt to that because, you know, during my 40, 50 years, you have to keep adapting. This is the biggest adaptation, I think, in the history of college athletics. And it's not been coordinated. You know, we don't have a leader. We don't even know who to call into a meeting to discuss what needs to be discussed. This has been 3 years now, Dan, and it shows the state of the NCAA 3 years ago and the fact that it has not been able to do a damn thing in these 3 years. And instead of complaining about what it is, just accept the fact that this is a new time. And just because it isn't like the old doesn't mean it's not okay. This is what it is. And we should figure out how to do what it is in the best interest of everyone. And I think it's an exciting time if you had leadership and an organization to put your arms around it.
But NIL wasn't supposed to be a recruiting tool.
No, you're right.
But that's it's become.
Well, because there weren't any guidelines. In other words, we should have anticipated. NIL, the intended consequences of NIL are pure. A youngster gets, because of their abilities, their talents, they get different opportunities. That's good. You know, that's really good. But what we've done is we form collectives and to pay players, basically. Hey, that's the way it is right now. If there was a plan, there's never been a plan, you know. So as a result, the entrepreneurial spirit of our country, of people, takes it to unintended consequences that I don't know are necessarily bad. Maybe we should have gotten there already. But instead of bringing everything back, let's say this is where it is right now. How can we organize it? How can it be transparent? You know, like if you ran the Knicks and I ran the Celtics, I know what I know your pace. I know everything. And you, In college sports, you do not know that. There's no transparency. That I don't think that that's good, because then I don't trust you. You know, you don't trust me.
But what you're saying, there should be transparency, that you should know what Clemson is spending or Notre Dame is spending. That lets
in some way, yeah. Can we create, and maybe I would think that we could do that, but if not, like, what's the model? You know, what model do we have?
That's the NCAA calling you right now, Coach.
Yeah, it's my agent saying, "What am I doing? What am I doing on this show? You're ruining your ability to attract people." The transparent, I think it's good for kids to make money. You know, I think it's good.
Should we know how much they're making?
In some way, we should know that. But in some respects, they are independent contractors, you know.
Yeah.
And so people say, do we bring them all under one umbrella, and are they paid by the university? It's complicated. But that's what leadership should figure out. You know, that's what big business does. That's what countries do. That's what, you know, but who is doing that? You know,
So you have no faith in the NCAA right now?
Well, I haven't had faith in the NCAA for a long time.
Just want to clarify that.
But what I think is, the NCAA is a really good organization. The thing the NCAA does the best is run championships for Division I, II, and III. And they run them in an outstanding manner. There's probably a level of rules or something that keeps us all together that we could have. But, you know, like Charlie Baker has put out, maybe there should be this elite division, or basically saying, what is football going to do? Well, let's find out what football is going to do. And if there's going to be another division, what does that do to the other three divisions? In other words, you don't just throw out stuff without saying, if they do this, it will lead to this.
Yeah.
And yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. And we spend a lot of time now trying to Congress so that we are protected antitrust-wise. And some of that is good, I think, but it's the purpose of it. If we're protected, let's go back to the old structure. See, I think we should restructure the NCAA. We should restructure college athletics, and then figure this thing out. What happens in the NCAA, in their transformation committees and all these committees, they're inundated with compliance people who are rule-oriented. Like, and they're good at that. Like, I have 10 rules and I'm going to make you obey them, or I'm going to punish you. That's not what we should be doing. Now, we should be, an entrepreneur doesn't think that way. And by the way, they should be an entrepreneur because they have this asset that's worth $1 billion that should be worth more if they negotiated it better. And it's a treasure. It's what makes the NCAA go. It's called the NCAA tournament. And we're in it right now because it started with all the conference tournaments to see who gets in.
He's the Hall of Fame coach, Mike Krzyzewski. I talked to Jim Boeheim about possibly expanding the tournament, and he was fine with 96. And I said, well, that's the regular season. I mean, everybody gets an opportunity to make the tournament. You have conference tournaments. Why do we need to expand unless it's just money driven by the NCAA?
You know, Dan, I wish people would stop talking about changing the NCAA tournament right now. It's a treasure. It works. It's beautiful. You don't expand something not knowing what it's going to fit into in the future. We do not know the future of the NCAA, and the NCAA owns the tournament. Until we find out, like, are there going to be four divisions? How many Are there going to be power conferences? Until you find that out, don't throw out 72, 78. I don't think.
Yeah.
It's a treasure right now. And during this time of the year, it's like a cool thing to talk about, expansion. And I wish Charlie Baker wouldn't talk about expanding it until he knows what his organization is going to be 5 years from now. And by the way, we're under contract for another 8 years, I think, because we screwed it up.
Yeah, but they break contracts all the time, Coach.
Yeah.
They do.
Well, yeah. But what I'm saying, Dan, is, it's pretty damn good right now. In fact, it's a treasure. It's priceless. And every kid right now who plays Division I basketball has a chance because of the conference tournaments. In other words, I wish we would publicize the conference tournaments that started last week. There were eight or so buzzer beaters in the Atlantic Sun and Patriot League and all these things. And to celebrate the tournament from its start, that is the start of the tournament. And it lends itself into the 68. And that's the beauty of ours. There's no other sport that takes over a month. And then we're so good, we even take a week of April.
Yeah.
We got to be careful not to mess it up.
Would Caitlin Clark get the green light if you were her coach?
Damn right. Did J.J. Redick get the green light? I mean, you have...
Yeah, but she shoots... She had more range than J.J. Redick.
Not necessarily. I wouldn't go that far. She has more range than you.
Yeah, barely. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, but it's a little bit... You're a high percentage shooter too.
Yes.
But
let her shoot from wherever she wanted to.
Well, I would love to coach her. I had her on my show about 2 months ago. She's genuine. I mean, she has a spirit. I would love to coach that spirit. I mean, she's courageous. She is not afraid to fail. And even in their Big Ten championship game, I think she had 4 points at halftime.
Yeah.
And then she goes for 30 more. And it's great. And I love what the women's game has done over these last 2 years. They schedule big games early. They've highlighted their stars. They've gotten more exposure TV-wise. And I think that's so good for the game.
Does Duke have a plan in place for storming the court?
This is crazy. From 1996 until I retired, we lost 70 road games. We won about two-thirds of our road games. In those 70 games, we had 58 court stormings.
Wow.
And we asked the ACC to do something about it. I said, well, it doesn't happen. I said, no, it happens to us. And they've never done anything. For Duke, our policy has been, just with me and the students, when I still coached, don't storm the court unless it's a championship. And in other words, don't let the opponent think that they're more important than our pursuit of a championship. And we have lived that. Every once in a while, like Dockery hit a half-court shot like 20 years ago, and they did that. But we don't want that. We don't want to give our opponent that level of respect, that the only respect we should have is for winning a league, the ACC tournament championship or the NCAA championship.
Yeah, but I don't know if we can stop these students. My thought was make sure you surround the opposing team.
Yeah.
It's incumbent that you get them off the floor safely, and then the university is liable if you happen to come on the floor after that. More security for a bigger game.
Well, I think, though, you start out by saying we don't allow court stormings. The second step is you make sure you have security. And the third step is you find. And if you find, you, the team that gets stormed on gets the money. And because we would have made probably $1 million with all those storms.
That's true.
And but in other words, there has to be some rule, just like we don't allow bank robbers, okay? That doesn't mean we don't have security in banks. And it doesn't mean that if someone breaks in the bank, we don't punish them. So I think you have to have some semblance of order with the recognition that there still will be some court stormings. And then what is the, what do you do when that happens? And in other words, there's some level of organization or, you know,
decorum.
We're all over the place. A little bit.
Before I let you go, how long did it take you to learn how to spell your last name when you were growing up?
Yeah, forget about spelling it, saying it. And we lived in inner city Chicago. There, one of my uncles was a cop, and we lived on the north side and on the south side. My uncle Joe, and when we go there for Christmas, we'd get in and the first thing he would ask me is, what's my name? And so at 5 or 6, before I walk in, I'm asking my mom, Mom, what's my name? Krzyzewski. So I didn't have to spell it for a long time. Other people had to spell it, but it took me a while to pronounce it.
Good to catch up with you. If you get lonely, you need to talk to somebody, I'm always here.
Yeah, well, I've enjoyed our friendship, and I wish you would get rid of some of the clutter, though. You know,
I keep everything, Coach.
Yeah,
I do.
You're very possessive. You have
yes,
garage full of stuff.
Yes.
Well, I'm not knocking you. Just
it feels like it.
Well, I'm giving you a suggestion.
Okay, but I'm not saying, hey, get rid of the stuff in your office there. Seems like there's a little
bit
of...
Well, you wouldn't want to get rid of any of this stuff.
Good to talk to you.
All right.
Thank you, Coach. That's Coach K. KRZYZEWSKI. Take a break, back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We'll get some more phone calls coming up. We make way for Maurice Jones-Drew, NFL Network analyst and the color analyst for the Rams Radio, former NFL running back. Great to talk to you again, Mojo. Let me start with Derrick Henry with the Ravens. How do you think they're going to use him with Lamar Jackson?
Well, I think, you know, if you go back and look at the AFC Championship game, they really didn't force the running game. I thought if they would have forced the running game, they would have beat the Kansas City Chiefs, and a lot of that was because they were on their fourth and fifth running back, right? Gus Edwards was there, who they had been utilizing, but Dalvin Cook came in. Like, they weren't the guys that they started the season with. So I think when you get Derrick Henry there, he becomes now a vital piece of this puzzle where you know he's, you knock on wood, he'll be healthy. You can run him. He only gets better as you run him, the more you run him, and it just creates a that what Baltimore wants to be, that physical running game that they want to have going down downhill. So I think it works out. Then you also can imagine this, a zone read situation where either you're going to have to tackle Derrick Henry or you're going to have to tackle Lamar Jackson in space, which I know is going to have defensive coordinators up all night.
Explain to me how a running back gets better the more carries.
Well, I think it's part of how you train. For me personally, when I was playing, I remember my first couple of years I was a backup, so I would come in and have to get going. But as you start to understand the defense, how they're trying to play you, you start to see where the defenders fit. You start to wear down the defense by breaking a couple of tackles here and there. Your offensive line, we call them repeat runs, where you're running the same plays over and over again, so you kind of can get your footing with your offensive line. And then that's how holes are created. If you ever watch games, and for all our listeners, the teams that run the football in the first quarter all the way through the game, in the fourth quarter you'll start to see teams break off bigger runs because they're wearing down the defense. And that's kind of what Baltimore did this past year, is they just started to wear down the defense. Kansas City did it as well down the stretch. The Niners do it all the time, and Detroit did it. You wear down the defense, and then in the fourth quarter, guys are tired. It's hard to get off blocks when you're exhausted. It's hard to tackle guys when you're exhausted. And for Derrick Henry at 6'3", 250 pounds, can you imagine trying to tackle that guy 20 to 25 times a game?
That's
going to be tough to deal with. And so,
how would the Eagles use Saquon Barkley?
Well, I think they're going to use him the same way they used DeAndre Swift. I just think that he's a tier better than DeAndre Swift. He's more explosive. I think he's better out of the backfield than Swift is. And Swift was a big upgrade from Miles Sanders. Last year, as we saw him rush for over 1,000 yards and had some big games. I think if you bring Saquon in there, that just adds another element to explosiveness to this offense. And Daniel Jeremiah said something that actually resonated with me. You know, we were always talking about the devaluation of the running back position, but as Christian McCaffrey has taken the Niners to levels and places they haven't been, you're starting to see more teams go out and try to find those guys to be their own Christian McCaffrey. I think that's what the Eagles have done with Saquon Barkley. They've seen how good the Niners have become with their running game and their play-action game, and they expect to do the same thing with Saquon.
He's Maurice Jones-Drew, NFL Network analyst, former NFL running back. We were talking yesterday about the qualifications to be a Hall of Fame running back now. Like, what is the measuring stick of, okay, that guy's a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I really don't know, and I think everyone's situation is different. I'm a big component of Fred, big fan of Fred Taylor and what he was able to do when we were in Jacksonville. I thought it was if you either rush for 10,000 yards or you get 2K rushing in a year, MVPs, those are big things. But I also want the people that are voting to look at what teams are going against. When we were in Jacksonville, Dan, we used to run against 8 and 9 man boxes, mm-hmm. right? Like, I haven't seen a player yet run against a 9 man box in the NFL. And so there's a lot of these guys that are going, which is awesome. Credit for them. Like, they've had good years. But down in Jacksonville, we used to run against, like, I mean, they used to pull fans out of the stands and put them in the box to, like, stop our running game. And
that's not true. Maurice, that is not
it
true.
It is true. No, it is true. I'm telling you. I promise you, one time the Tennessee Titans must have tried a guy out on Tuesday, and they must have had, like, 17 guys in the box. And Fred found a way to get, you know. But I just think at the end of the day, we look at the stats. And stats, you know, they're factual, but they don't tell the whole story. If you really sit up and you watch the tape and you watch – kind of, you know, I'll give an example for Marshall Faulk, big fan of his. When you watch their tape, they had such a dominant passing game that Marshall Faulk didn't really run against 7 and 8 man boxes. He ran against 6 and 5 man boxes because teams are afraid of their passing game.
Mm-hmm.
In Jacksonville, granted, we had a decent passing game, but people knew us to be a run heavy team, a run first team. So they would load the box, and Fred still was able to get 10,000 yards. So I think sometimes, as writers and the people that are voting, you need to go back and watch the tape and look at the difference the way teams play Jacksonville compared to the way teams played other teams like the Colts or whoever else it might have been. And then you'll realize that Fred should have been in the Hall of Fame a long time ago. So to me, I know there's some guys coming up. I know there's some receivers coming up that I'm really good friends with that haven't gotten in, which is crazy to me. But I think when you look at the running back position, stats only tell part of the story. They don't tell the whole story. And I think that's a big ordeal that we're having right now in the guys getting into the Hall of Fame.
Give me the team going in the wrong direction. The worst team going in the wrong direction.
The wrong direction?
Yeah.
Let's see. Who's overpaid a quarterback? I guess you could say the Giants.
Okay.
The Giants kind of they're in a situation right now where, yes, you're building up your defense. That's awesome. But the only reason your offense was rolling was because of Saquon. You paid a quarterback a bunch of money. At the time, I think he was like 15-20% of your cap, and he hasn't panned out. And so to me, you know, with teams that are paying quarterbacks all this money, that quarterback better be able to make plays, right? Because the more I allocate to my cap to him, right, the percentages to my cap, the less I can build a team around him. And so if I can't build a team around a guy that needs it, but I'm paying him $40 million a year, that's going to hurt my team. I think the Vikings in a situation are as well. They kind of hedged their bets with Kirk Cousins, and now you're stuck with Sam Darnold. I don't know how good Sam Darnold will be because he hasn't played in a while, but the last time he played, he liked to throw the ball to the other team. So I think that's going to be another issue as well that you have to deal with. Teams that are kind of are handicapped right now because of their quarterback situation.
Speaking of which, the Cowboys spending money with Dak. They're going to have to spend money on Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb. Who's going to be their running back?
I don't know. I'm sure they're going to go find one in the draft. There's a couple guys in the draft I think you can get in the third round. It just depends on what kind of guy they're looking for, though. Are you looking for an Ezekiel Elliott type of player that could be your first and second down back with the ability to do some third down stuff? Are you looking for a third down guy like Tony Pollard like you had last year? There's a couple guys in the draft, but I think they're going to have to hit the draft because they're still over the cap. From my understanding, they haven't re-signed Dak yet. They haven't gotten CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons done. They got a lot of work to do. And, you know, again, I know free agency, the Jags used to live in free agency. That never really panned out, which I think is a smart thing for the Cowboys. But they have a lot of holes to fill. If you can't run the ball or stop the run come January, you're going to have those early exits like they've done the last couple of years. So you have to hope that they're trying to figure out a way to fix that interior offensive line, to fix that interior defensive line, and get them a strong running game to help Dak Prescott and this offense out.
Who had a better week at the quarterbacking position, the Falcons or the Steelers?
Ooh, that's a good one. You know, I would say I would go with the Falcons. I think Pittsburgh is going to have to draft another receiver, and so to me that's going to be a big deal, like to get another receiver obviously to help out because you just lost Deontay Johnson, who was a really good player. But in Atlanta, literally all they needed to do was pick up a quarterback and just drop him in this system. You picked a quarterback that's been in this system before, that was in the system last year with all those weapons, adding Darnell Mooney. With Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Bijan Robinson, Tyler Algier. That, to me, sounds like an offense that I want a piece of in fantasy. So I think they hit it out of the park with that one. Then let me talk a little bit about the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm very interested to see how Russell Wilson is going to work in this situation where it's going to be a run first offense, very similar to what he was in Seattle. Yes. But what receiver do you go and get to help be that deep threat down the field, or a guy that can kind of replace what Deontay Johnson did? And I know there's some really good receivers in this draft, but you're going to have to go get those guys early. So did Pittsburgh tell us that they're going to go receiver early in this draft, maybe in the first round, or what they're looking to get? But I think they put themselves in position to go and contend for an AFC North title with that Russell Wilson signing, because he's a much better player than what they had on the roster last year.
Good to talk to you, Mojo. We appreciate your time as always.
Oh, no problem. Always good to talk to you, man.
That's Maurice Jones-Drew, NFL Network analyst and former NFL running back. A couple of phone calls in here. Cody in Iowa. Hi, Cody. What's on your mind today?
Doing DP, Dan S., 6'2", 210. I just wanted to call and talk about how all these teams that are in shambles keep wanting to draft quarterbacks. The Panthers did it. The Broncos and the Patriots are about to do it. We've seen the recipe for success with teams like the Chiefs and the Eagles and the Niners, who build a team and then just plug in a quarterback that they draft, and it works. Why are these teams going out of their way to set up these quarterbacks for failure?
Yeah, you can draft a quarterback. It's got to be the quarterback you want, and you have to ensure that you surround them with a good offensive line. I railed against the Colts for years when they drafted Andrew Luck. And I thought, you know what? Injuries will drive him out of the game because they haven't protected him. You can't spend $100 million on your quarterback and 15 cents on your offensive line. And then they finally got around to drafting Quentin Nelson. You know, then they were starting, and then Andrew Luck walked away from the game. You got to make sure that you have some kind of continuity there. Offensive coordinator, certainly your head coach, but you do have weapons there. I mean, Bryce Young, he had no chance last year. You're learning, you're a rookie, and you don't have weapons. If he was placed in a better situation with a better team, then maybe you would see something different out of him. You can't ask him to win games for you. Not now. I mean, C.J. Stroud was wonderful, but he did have some weapons. I mean, they had a good team. They had a surprisingly underrated group of receivers, running backs, and he took advantage of that. And you had a great coach. They set him up for success. A lot of these, you know, quarterbacks who go in, they're asked to be a savior. And there aren't many of those. Yes, Marv.
Going back to the Texans, next year, do they get a mulligan? Like, all right, they didn't perform as well as you thought, but then the year after next, it's we're waiting, like, real expectations.
Because
It always goes from their cute, fun team to, all right, we're looking for it now. All right, let's get a Super Bowl run going.
Well, you also look at that division, and you can win that division. And I think, you know, we're going to have high expectations for the Texans. And rightfully so. Because it feels like C.J. Stroud figured it out. He kind of broke the code. There's quarterbacks who do and those who don't. And some never do. But he broke the code. He understands it. And I think people are going to look at the Texans and go, if they don't win the division, they don't win at least one playoff game, then I think we would look at that as a disappointing season. And you wouldn't have had those expectations if it didn't happen last year.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.